It's Larry from Shelby, previously on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Welcome back, Nashville. Final hour. Don't forget tomorrow, among our guests, Josh Heupel. Tennessee will arrive here, and there'll be a lot of excitement outside. It'll be like Nick Saban and Hoover.
But nobody's going to wear a national championship ring hat.
No.
Unless it's a 25-year-old national championship ring.
That is correct. We are in the right behind the big room. Andy Staples in Kennington Smith III. We call him Kenny. Kenny is now covering Alabama for The Athletic. And Andy Staples, for the first time on this program, has a new job. You've had a few over the many years that we have been friends with you. You now work ON3. It's got to be ON3.
ON3, that's right. That's right. Andy Staples ON3 is the name of the show. Comes out on the ON3 YouTube channel every night, 8 p.m. And then we're in podcast form if you don't want to look at me. So all your podcast platforms, you get it there, subscribe. And really what happened was Kenny got hired at The Athletic. I met him, realized I was about to be eclipsed by a superstar, and I was like, I got to go. I can't handle this.
We did one episode together. It was great.
It was amazing.
Yeah. At our summit, and the next thing I know, you were on.
Should I tell Paul what your other talent is?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So Kenny's a brilliant writer. Go read his Tommy Rees story that just came out on The Athletic.
Thank you.
But he's a DJ as well. He can pack a dance floor. And my favorite answer that you gave in that podcast, because I said, what song gets everybody on the dance floor? And this is the one for me that gets me shaking my ass, too. Da Butt by EU. Paul, I know you know that one.
Generational.
Yeah. No, this is where I wisely say, you know what? I don't know that song.
I guarantee you there were some parties.
Definitely.
In Knoxville when you were a student.
Yeah.
Where that may have been playing.
I can assure you, for the record, I don't remember any of those parties. It was the 70s.
Okay, maybe he wasn't playing it. Maybe it was your 10-year reunion
that was
there playing it.
One of the most famous culture quotes of all time. Somebody was talking, some guy from the Rolling Stone or something, Kenny, and he said, you know, I remember back in the 60s, and the guy said, if you were around in the 60s, you don't remember them. And if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Right.
Right.
But I do remember some of the 70s, but nothing in Knoxville. Kenny, you're The Athletic, which was the new hot thing, is now old media, and you're dressed like old media, and the new media guy looks like the old media guys used to look.
I used to wear suits and stuff like this, and I realized I'm never getting a TV job, so why do I have to dress up anymore? What's the point?
Yeah. I hope for a job in television one day, and this is my first time on television, so wanted to, you know, put it on.
Let me assure you, you'll get one.
Thank you.
You are very good.
That's right. Paul's bosses are just sitting here going, okay, let's get his phone number.
Kenny, I think it was during COVID.
Yes.
You were covering high school for the state, is that right?
In South Carolina for the Greenville News.
The Greenville News, yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, and you are now rocketing through the world.
Yeah, very blessed to be in this position. Like I told you, when I first got this job, I gave you a lot of credit for putting me on your show, giving me this platform and an opportunity to tell stories that matter to me and ultimately matter to a lot of people, and got me to the Des Moines Register where I was able to tell some great stories there, and I'm really looking forward to what's next at The Athletic.
No stories about scoring points offensively, but he was able to tell good stories.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see a lot of touchdowns this year. Hopefully, fingers crossed. We'll see who the quarterback is.
So let's start with the Tommy Rees story. And we had Nick Saban up here hours ago, and I asked him about Tommy Rees, and he said, I love Tommy Rees. I mean, it's like Nick Saban's like falling in love again with what is it that he loves about Tommy Rees?
Yeah, I think the first thing is Tommy Rees is a brilliant football mind. And when I first wanted to take on the story idea, myself, just like many people out there who wasn't familiar with his story, wanted to know why Tommy Rees, of all people, that Nick Saban could have hired for this position. And the more people that I talked to, it became apparent that he is, within coaching circles in the football world, regarded as one of the rising up-and-coming football minds. And I think another thing that made him a great fit is just his work ethic and his grinder-like mentality. Talked to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt's head coach who served with Tommy Rees on Notre Dame staff, and he said that just the amount that he grinded, and it didn't matter how many hours it took, it didn't matter what it took for him to make his unit successful, he was going to go that extra mile. And that meant a lot, especially because Rees played quarterback at Notre Dame and ascended up the coaching ranks very quickly in age. I mean, he was 25 years old when he was named quarterback's coach, and it would have been easy for him to feel validated being in that role that young, but he really wanted to earn it, and he wanted to grind, and he wanted to prove himself. And I think that type of mentality and just the obsession with wanting to be the best and finding a better way really gravitated towards Saban.
Andy, everybody's talking about Saban today. I mean, you can't help but talk about Saban. Your takeaway?
I think he feels like he's got a challenge ahead of him, and I think Nick Saban with a challenge is the most dangerous Nick Saban, because he's not trying to defend against people telling his team that they're the greatest of all time. Nobody's actually saying that right now. Like, I kind of think I'll be curious to see what everybody votes here. I always forget to turn it in, but I think everybody's going to pick LSU to win the West. And he's going to be great with that because he can use that. And then, you know, the NIL stuff, he always said, oh, I'm not complaining. Well, you are complaining sometimes, but we know why you're complaining. You're trying to get the rules to be something you understand that you can then figure out how to create the best system around that. That's, we've seen him do that for years. If they change the rules on him, he figures it out. So he's trying to figure these things out. And it's interesting because I've heard more and more people say, well, it looks like he's getting close to retirement. He's tired of all this new stuff. Nick Saban always struck me as someone who is more energized when he has a problem to solve. And that's what it feels like right now.
Well, because I don't think very many people, and there are those who have been in that spot, but, you know, I mean, his friend Belichick went through it. But when you're expected to win every year, losing one game is a failure, or two games, or not winning the national championship, and that's not the case anymore. And Kenny, I realize it's early on, but just your exposure to this program in a short period of time, how would you characterize what you've seen?
Yeah, I think that you hit it right on the head when you said to lose a game is almost considered a failure. I was out on the floor talking to the players at their small podiums, and J.C. Latham really spoke to that. He said, you know, we won 11 games last year, but we didn't win the national championship, and that is the standard. Therefore, we did not meet our expectations. This is a program that's played for the national championship in 6 of the last 8 years, and it is the goal every single year to win the national championship. So when you don't reach that mark, and then you have LSU, who is ascending and defeated Alabama last year, and you obviously can't ignore what Georgia's done in winning back-to-back national championships, when you have something like that existing within the conference, it gives reason for people to speculate if Bama is taking a step back. And I think that the players are taking exception to that. Again, out there on the floor, you have reporters and people kind of asking the Kool-Aid McKinstrys and the J.C. Lathams, the Dallas Turner, you know, how do you feel when people tell you that Georgia is the new standard in college football? And I think that they're internalizing that, and I think it's going to be intrinsic motivation going into the season.
But, Andy, Georgia is the new standard.
100%.
Yeah.
They absolutely are. I mean, it's interesting because I went through this last year, and one of the things I think that has happened to Alabama is just Kirby doing what Nick has done, maybe even better right now in terms of building and recruiting, because, you know, you look at that class of 2020. This is the year before the COVID baby class that Kirby talked about. But that class of 2020 had three or four guys that I think, had Kirby not been the head coach at Georgia, had it been Mark Richt during Mark Richt equivalent, those guys would have gone to Alabama. Like their center, Cedric Van Pran, Darnell Washington, Jalen Carter. There was another one, too. These were all people who had Alabama as a finalist. And you put the four of them on Alabama's team last year, they probably win the national title. That's the margin we're talking about. It's that Kirby's been able to do that. The other thing Kirby's been able to do that I find very interesting is he's staffing in a similar method to Nick Saban. When he loses a defensive coordinator, Will Muschamp's right there, pull him up. Todd Monken goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Bobo's on the staff, pull him up. Nick Saban, he got Kevin Steele, who's a member of the family and has been on his staff before. Offensively, they didn't have anybody in the family ready to pull up. So they had to go looking around, which... That struck me as unusual.
Kenny, every day that I've talked to somebody from Alabama this year, I've gotten a different answer on the quarterback situation. I realize it's yet to be determined, but it's late. This is not something that goes on forever. So what does your intel tell you?
Yeah, I think the first thing that stuck out to me today was that Nick Saban said it was a three-team race, which to me signifies that Tyler Buckner has done enough in a short period of time to insert himself into the competition. I think that there are times where you have a transfer who comes into a program like an Alabama or a Georgia, they might have a problem assimilating into the culture and buying into the work that's needed to compete for a team that's going for a national championship. So the fact that Tyler Buckner has inserted himself into the conversation, I think says a lot. And I think it does point to the fact that there really hasn't been anybody to really separate themselves yet. You have Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson who have been in the program for multiple years. Jalen Milroe has played and started and won a game for Alabama last year, yet they felt the need to seek outside help in the portal, and that person has asserted himself into the competition. So,
him credit for that win is being very generous. Yeah. What do you think, Andy? The way that game ended,
it was pretty wild. Now, this is the interesting thing with that, with Nick Saban and Alabama. Four first-year starting quarterbacks have won national titles for Nick Saban. Greg McElroy did it. AJ McCarron did it. Jake Coker did it. Mac Jones did it. So.
Yeah.
The idea that they don't know the identity.
How many first-round skill position players did those guys have?
They had a lot. I think these guys are going to have some too, though, and especially in the backfield. So, yeah, it is a very interesting situation. And look, we're favoring Georgia to win the national title. They will have a first-year starting quarterback. Ohio State will have a first-year starting quarterback this year. So I don't know that that's necessarily something that would eliminate
Alabama.
It's a good
Alabama. Year to have a first-year quarterback.
I found it interesting because they have recruited fairly well in terms of ratings and felt at the end of spring practice that they needed somebody else in that room to add more competition.
Yeah.
Who are you voting for to win the SEC West?
Right now I'm going to have to go with LSU.
Oh, my goodness. You're in for a long tenure. I say this jokingly. We talked to two Alabama reporters earlier. They both picked Alabama to win the SEC and the national championship. You have won my respect. first, haven't even covered your first game on the beat, and you've already gone. You've been objective.
I'm going Bama because Nick Saban correctly said that his favorite kind of cake was carrot cake.
Yeah,
yeah.
The answer is Bama.
The answer is carrot cake
because it's Bama.
Because it's carrot cake.
Guys, great. Andy Staples, now host of the Andy Staples Show.
On three,
YouTube. And Kennington Smith III, the best dressed and the best name in the business.
Appreciate it.
Got it. We'll be right back.
The Paul Feinbaum Show. Weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back. SEC Media Days 3-day. John Clay and Zach Alberti joining us. Zach is with On3. We talked to him a couple of months ago. I think he was in the middle of teaching a class, so thanks for giving your students a terrible example of what to try to aspire to be, something like me. And John Clay, who was you've done it a long time, but I talked to a guy earlier, John, who's done it longer than anybody's ever done it. Kirk Bowles, he told me he's covered Texas for 50 years. You've only covered UK for how long?
I started in 81. I started on the beat in 87. So, yeah, Kirk's got me by a little bit, but not all of it.
Kirk has everyone by.
Yeah, you know?
I felt like I was a new kid on the block talking to Kirk.
I'll be happy any day to be mentioned in the same sense with Kirk Bowles.
Now, he is truly a legend. So, let me start with you, Zach, because we had Coach Stoops on, so we heard a little bit about Kentucky. We have not heard anything about the Billy Neighbors appearance here today. I saw him from across the distance. I don't know. I really don't even know what he said. Sure. How did it go?
Yeah, obviously a lot of question marks going into year two. I think the thing that he wanted to tout today was the transfer class that they signed. Being able to bring in guys like Graham Mertz, obviously at the quarterback spot, but defensively some impact transfers, they feel like they've added on that side of the ball. And then their whole roster is interesting, Paul. Usually in the summer, you add a bunch of guys that you sign from your freshman class that come in. The Gators got a lot of those guys in mid-year. 97% of their 2023 roster has been on campus since January, going through the whole entire offseason program. So that's something he feels like is a strength. And obviously a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the ball with Patrick Toney moving on, Austin Armstrong taking over as the play caller. A lot of expectations for him and kind of the energy that he's brought. So now we're just waiting to see this season opener at Utah.
And it does seem, from a distance, and I don't swim in gator-infested waters.
Smart.
But the recruiting in the spring seemed like it finally calmed everything down.
Mm-hmm. It did. They've been on a tear recently, and I think that you're starting to see the benefits of the time that they've put in. They just landed a commitment this week, flipped a wide receiver from Florida State, and they're going head-to-head with some heavy hitters right on the recruiting trail. They're landing kids that used to be going to Alabama, Georgia, and that's what you have to do if you're going to close the gap.
And John Clay, who covers Kentucky, as he said, you've more basketball than football. You've never seen a program that suddenly changed direction just because of great recruiting, have you? I mean, that never happens at UK with John Calipari. But I'll save Cal for another day, although I could ask you about John Calipari. He's like Saban in a way. There's always something
right
to ask about. But Mark Stoops today seemed unusually relaxed. He seemed fairly confident. He knows what mistakes he made last year, and he did make some. But what about now?
Yeah, I mean, they were picked to finish second in the East last year, ended up going 3-5 in the SEC, 7-6 overall, got blanked in the bowl game. So, yeah, Mark's made a lot of talk about during the spring about getting back to where the fundamentals of what built the program in the first place, playing a physical style of football. Obviously, getting Devin Leary as a quarterback transfer from North Carolina State was huge, with Will Levis moving on to the NFL. Getting Liam Cohen back as offensive coordinator. Liam was offensive coordinator 2 years ago. He'd come in from the Rams, really injected a lot of energy and points into the offense, then went back to the Rams. Now he's back at UK. Everybody on the team, everybody, the fan base are really excited about that. So, yeah, there's a lot of optimism going into this year, although they're a little more under the radar this year than they were last year, because I don't think they're going to get picked to finish second when the media vote comes in.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a cliche with Kentucky, but they're better off being ignored, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they like that role better. They like that chip on the shoulder better.
And I mean, do I have amnesia? Weren't they in the top 10 last year a second?
They were up to number 7 when they started off the season. And then Levis got hurt. They had some other problems. Offensive line was a big problem. That's kind of the biggest change. They've redone the offensive line, brought in a lot of guys from the transfer portal. Yeah. They think will help out. I think that's going to be the key to the season. If they can get the offensive line turned around back to what they used to call the big blue wall at Kentucky, I think they got a chance to be pretty good. If they can't get that straightened out, they might have some of the same problems they had last year.
I don't say this because we're down the street from the Vanderbilt campus, but you guys both covered the two biggest wins of the Clark Lee era.
and that's right.
Worst losses for the teams you cover. I mean, that Kentucky right. loss was ugly, but the Florida loss was even uglier.
It was. That was not the way Florida needed to end its first season, because they got some momentum going. And now, you know, they come into this year. Yeah, they haven't gotten a win over a rival yet in the Billy Napier era. I think that Tennessee is going to be a key game, and then Kentucky early in the year. There's some history behind this matchup, Paul. You know, Florida lost back-to-back last year to Kentucky for the first time since 76 and 77.
Wow. That used to be a game. It didn't matter what the score was. I mean, Kentucky could be leading by three touchdowns with 3 seconds to yep. go, but Florida would still win.
Right. It happened a couple times, I think.
Well, and if they win this year, that's three in a row. That hasn't happened since Bear Bryant was the coach at Kentucky.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
You didn't cover that.
No,
one.
That was just a little bit before.
I not to digress here, but I talked to – I covered Bryant at the end, and I don't think he ever wanted to leave Kentucky. He loved it up there.
Yeah, there's the old story about that, you know, Rupp, they both had really good years. Rupp got a Cadillac and Bryant got a cigarette lighter.
And the Bryant people swear that's not true, although it is in my mind.
It's too good not to be true.
But those guys, I mean, they were big buddies. I always thought there would be, I mean, and
no, there's no true.
That's the reason the bourbon industry is so successful in Kentucky, because of Bryant and Rupp. They drank so much of it.
Yeah, probably true. Yeah.
So let's get some predictions before you guys go. And I know you hate that, but you do have a – and I'm not no, – nobody holds anybody to anything unless you're wrong. where do you think the range is for UK?
Oh, I mean, I think they've got a chance to win, you know, if everything goes right. I think they get a chance to win 8 or 9 games. They've had 2 10-win seasons in the last 3 before last year. I think they have a chance to get back to that level. Okay. The schedule's, you know, they got Alabama comes in. That's, you know,
am I crazy in thinking that could be a bizarre game?
Because
I don't live in Kentucky, but I've been there in November.
Yeah, right, right. That's
last
right.
time I was there in November, it was for the LSU game about 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, it sleeted. It was downright miserable.
Talking about Kentucky, Florida, back in the old days when Frank Kersey was the coach, he would switch sidelines so that Kentucky would be – they always played in November. Kentucky would be on the sunny side of the field, and he put Florida on the – on the shady side of the field, where it was much colder. They can't get away with that now, but yeah. But yeah, November. But you're right, Paul. The November games, you never know in Lexington.
Gators, what about it?
You know, I think for Florida fans, if they win 7 games and beat Tennessee, I think most of them would be happy, because they'd get a win over a rival, they'd get a win in the swamp, and they improve their win-loss record. You know, they've had 6 wins back-to-back years. You can't have another losing record or even a .500 record this year. So I think 7-8 wins they're capable of. I think if they get a win at Kentucky, they could get there.
Zach, I admire you, because I've looked at that schedule 1,000 times, and 7-8 wins –
Well, to me,
that is
things going well.
I love the optimism. I really do.
Yeah, I think 6 is probably more realistic.
For those who don't know the schedule, you got Utah. I'm just doing the losses in my mind. I'll keep quiet here. Utah, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Georgia.
They got to get some wins.
Wow,
early that first half of that stretch.
At LSU, God.
They got to get wins, because that second half of the season schedule, they're going to take some L's.
Yeah. Well, continue it. We'll talk to you soon, Zach. John, always a pleasure to see both of you. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
30 minutes
Paul.
Remaining. We're back right after.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
And the playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
More on the more right after we go off the air, the legendary Roy Kramer being celebrated as he should. We're back. 30 minutes left as an eventful day coming to a close. David Basil. I mean, when you're desperate to light the folks up, you bring in Bass.
That's what you do. Or you close the day out with me. That's what
I say this a lot, but I had the honor, and I mean it was an honor to come to your quarterback club last year.
Touchdown club. Close enough. All the same.
I was so drunk. I don't know what it was.
You gave us a great compliment.
But it was a little like Touchdown Club.
That's great.
I mean, it's the best Touchdown Club in the country.
Thank you. You've said that, and we take great pride. And you followed, if you remember, Paul, you followed John Gruden and Coach Orgeron the first time those guys had made public statements since they'd been
absolutely
fired. And so millions of views. And yeah.
So you, let's thank make you a deal that right now. When I get fired here,
yes,
my first appearance will be at the at the Little Rock.
That's right.
Touchdown.
I got to interview you. You know, the roles were reversed.
It was so much fun.
Nice,
and
yes.
What was so, and I've done this for a million years, and I'd been there before.
Right, that's right.
A couple of times.
Yep.
But, I mean, you couldn't. I mean, there wasn't a seat.
Yeah, it was packed.
It was. And
people love you.
And the thing that got me, David, was people just took so much pride in it. I mean, you go to I've been to a lot of touchdown clubs around the country. And it's Monday. Let's who we got?
Yep.
I mean, people. Well,
thank you. Yeah.
I mean, and it's because of you and your team and the work you do and you never stop.
Thank you. Great sponsors. We announced our lineup August 8th, and we got some great names coming in, Paul. I didn't know if I could top last year. You know, it was you and Kirk Herbstreit, Orgeron, John Gruden, you back-to-back-to-back-to-back. And so I think this year will be another great one. But
we'll get
so
you on later and talk about it. I do want to talk about today with Arkansas because there's been so much Saban obsession. What's that guy ever done?
Shocking. I mean, shocker.
But what did Pittman have to say, and what were your impressions?
You know, I think he feels, I think the change, I think the big takeaway, you've got two new coordinators. You know, Barry Odom was his guy. That was a big hire at the time, if you remember, for him to get in. Kendall Briles, very recognizable name. But I think he felt there needed to be a change, and I think you've done that now, so let's see what happens. Dan Enos is a guy everybody knows. Been in Alabama, been in Arkansas before. Worked with him under Bielema. So I think a change was needed. I think a mix. You know, I think it needed. He said he likes his team better. Their new personalities. And the way I always say it, Paul, when you're looking at your rankings for your statistics from offense and defense, if you've got three digits, that's a bad sign. And so Arkansas's defense was ranked 130th in pass defense out of 130 teams. So change needed, you know, to be made, and it was. And so I think that's the thing I think he's excited about.
You got so many big names on that roster, with KJ and Rocket. I mean, but are there enough?
Well, you're right. You've got probably the best combo in the league, one of the tops in the nation, in Rocket and KJ. KJ will break a lot of records. You know, the late Ryan Mallett, who we just lost a few weeks ago. KJ will break some of his records because he's been a starter for 3 years. And so the problem is you got two tackles. You got to have production out of the two offensive tackles. Those are going to be question marks. You got to have some guys who can catch the ball because your defenses will make you throw the ball if you don't have somebody that can catch it out there. So
we don't have a lot of time, and we'll make it up because everything has gone overboard. But give us a sense, a feeling.
So you got three. You should be 3-0 starting off the season. Then you got a just hellacious four game stretch, Paul, of you know, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, A&M at College. I mean, not College Station, but in Dallas and Arlington, rather. So you got a tough four game stretch there. Last year, you win seven games. three of those you lose by a combined 7 points. Right. Obviously, the A&M was a disaster. Missouri and LSU, you have a chance. And so those are the differences between winning 7 games and 9 games. And so the question is, can you do that? Can you win at the Swamp? Can you win at LSU? Can you win at Alabama? Can you? So I don't know. I think, again, anytime you have a good quarterback in this league gives you a head start. And if he gets hurt, we got a good backup there that's a really good quality backup.
David, we will talk to you very soon, and we will unveil your roster
yes,
for the club.
Thank you.
I'm envious not to be part of it.
We'll get you back another time.
I begged, I borrowed, and you said, we've had you.
They cut a big check for you, though, man. It's not easy to get you.
Man, I've been living off that all year. Thank you, David Basil.
Thanks, Paul.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We're back, and we have saved some fantastic reporters and writers for the end. Heather Dinich, everyone knows Heather. And, of course, Ross Dellinger. And Ross, we got to know Ross years ago when he was just a
wee little.
So I mean, I'm trying to come up with a really nice way of describing it. Two-bit reporter in Baton Rouge, and look at you now, man.
Yes, my replacement's replacement is sitting right behind me for the Advocate covering LSU, Wilson Alexander. So yeah, those are the good old days of still grinding right now over a computer back here in the main room.
So for those who haven't heard the news, and there is as much change in the digital world these days with people swapping and going around. We just had Andy on. We've had other people on, and you're now with Yahoo.
That's right. Yeah, made the switch over from SI to Yahoo. This is day three. So I kicked it off with a little SEC Media Days kickoff.
So my question, does Jimmy Sexton represent writers too?
I don't believe so. No, I don't believe so. That would be nice, though. That would be nice for the pocketbook.
I don't think he does. Years ago, I had lunch with him in Destin. It was set up by now Senator Tommy Tuberville. Tommy said, you need to get this guy to represent. He said, well, what do you make? And he said, all of a sudden, he like, had a call, and he left me with a menu. Heather, fascinating day. There's so many different aspects of a day, and we usually start the day together early in the morning. And the conversation there was about Nick Saban, and people are still talking about Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. And your takeaway from what we heard today.
Well, in talking to the man himself, one of my big takeaways was the attitude that he sees now from this team being so different from last year. And he told us this story in our ESPN.com interview room about how before they played Tennessee last year, they were coming out of the locker room and they usually sing this little song and it was quiet. And he turns around and he's like, what's wrong with you guys? And he said, basically, he used that to illustrate the expectations last year with Bryce Young and Will Anderson Jr. were so high that created an anxiety within that team that ultimately led to disappointments. And this year, it's different. They're using it as motivation. And these guys they have on the offensive line, like they want to play some smash mouth football. They want to get back to the Derrick Henry days. And there just seems to be a bit of a different attitude. And that, I think, was one of my big takeaways. And he also owned up to it a lot last year. We weren't the Alabama teams of usual, and some of that falls on me.
In other words, Russ, they were too talented.
Too talented and too experienced. This year's team's talented and pretty low on experience. It almost feels like a whole new team, especially when you consider two new coordinators, you know. So it'll be interesting to watch how they bounce back.
I was most struck by the fact that, and again, people watching and listening, you know, we sit here and we heard Saban, and this is called the big room. Then he comes up here. I don't know what else he says the rest of the day because, you know, we don't go outside. We are in a submarine, and you have no idea really what's going on elsewhere. But I expected him to stand up there and do what he normally does, state of the industry, NIL. He didn't. And you're kind of at the epicenter of the NIL world.
It's not a place I want to be. But, yeah, you know, he didn't talk at all really about NIL on the stage. And Heather was with me and a few others just meeting with him in the background earlier today before he got on the stage. And he talked a little bit about it, you know. But I think he's talked out of NIL. I think a lot of coaches are talked out of NIL.
Is that because they realize things are not going to change right away?
I think so. I think they realize that this is the reality for a little while at least. It's going to evolve. We know it is going to change, but talking about it, I think they've talked about it enough. You know, I think they've made their statements pretty clear of what they would like to happen. And Nick, meeting with him back in March in Tuscaloosa, he made his statements pretty clear that he wants a even type of level playing field for pay for players, you know, and not this, you know, different pay scale type of thing that we're seeing now. And you've seen coaches like Mack Brown and James Franklin come out and basically say, hey, we just need to have some kind of regulated system, even if it does mean schools paying players in some kind of revenue sharing or employment, but we need a regulated kind of standardized system.
Heather, you're at the epicenter of the CFP changes on the horizon, but you made a really interesting point this year about Georgia when we were together, that they don't have any room for error. I mean, their schedule is so poor, and what does that mean to them as we watch the season unfold?
Well, I think if we learned one lesson from Alabama in the college football playoff last year, is that you don't get in on name only. They lost two games. They didn't win.
But they were favored. They would have been favored all those games.
Yes, let's look to Vegas for determine who gets into the college football playoff.
The ghost of Jimmy the Greek now decides the college football playoff.
Right. But, I mean, as much as it's clear the committee loves the SEC over the past, 10 years of the college football playoff, that's what we learned from Alabama not getting in last year and TCU getting in instead. And I think to that point, to answer your question, just because you're Georgia and you have the potential to win a three-peat does not mean that you're a lock for the college football playoff if you don't win the East. If you don't win the East, and Tennessee could eliminate the entire division. If Tennessee beats Georgia and loses to Alabama, might they get in with Alabama? Absolutely. But is that their only loss? I don't know. So there are a lot of different ways.
If there's another one, I wish you would tell me.
Yeah, I don't. But the point being is, if Georgia loses, that non-conference schedule is going to come under the microscope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow this like you do, but they could make it up if they get to Atlanta, obviously, but they can't make it up without getting to Atlanta.
That's my point. Yeah. If you're sitting there and you don't win your division, a la Alabama last year. Now, they had two losses, so it would be a different scenario, but it's a question.
Yeah.
It's certainly a debate in that committee meeting room.
Ross, I've never cared who the media voted for because I still remember a couple of years ago when Auburn was picked to win the SEC West and Alabama was picked to win the conference. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But tomorrow is one of the most intriguing votes because it just seems like this is something we refer to. You hear the commentators there and you go, well, they were picked to finish sixth in the SEC and look at them right now. If Alabama doesn't get picked to finish, that is going to be a significant moment, at least for the voting.
It is. It feels like going into this one that LSU might be the pick for a lot of people, for a lot of media to win the division, and that would be, yeah, in the last year of divisions, right? That would be pretty surprising. But you know, you got a brand new Alabama team, you got brand new coordinators. We talked about it earlier. I think there are a lot of people out there that are doubting the team, and I think you'll probably see that in the preseason poll. I get the feeling that you might see LSU up there. Certainly it'll be close, and it does feel like going in, you know, to the last day of SEC media days, that hasn't been the case in the past.
We only have a second left, and forgetting what happened last year in Baton Rouge, but I mean, do you think we are viewing LSU accurately by possibly putting them ahead of Alabama?
I don't know. Heather's over here smirking at me. I don't know. I mean, it's a valid question for sure.
I don't know if I'm buying what Brian Kelly's selling in terms of we're not there yet, because they won the SEC West last year. Expectations should naturally be higher, but
it was such a sloppy season in so many ways.
They weren't terrific last year, but
Jaden Daniels keeps progressing like we saw him do from game one to game 13 last year, and they will be back in that championship game.
I'm sad that we're out of time because there's so much to mine with these two right here, Heather and Ross. Thanks for being here.
Yep.
And thanks to all of you for being a part of the program. Josh Heupel among the guests tomorrow. We hope you'll have a great night. Don't forget the Roy Kramer celebration coming up shortly.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.